Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/spoken today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's talk about the season finale, the series finale of Star Trek The Next Generation. I'm sorry, I meant Picard, season 8, season 3, episode 10, where in the crew comes together on the Enterprise D and saves the world. This was filled with fan service because it starts off with Walter Koenig voicing the relative of Pavel Chekhov, who is named Anton, which one assumes is after the dear departed Anton Yelchin, who played Chekhov in the Chris Pine Kirk versions of Star Trek. So you start off right there. You start off with that, which kind of sets the tone. And you get a best of both worlds level Borg adventure with a new style Borg, the Alice Krieg Borg Queen, now decrepit, having been suffering from a virus that was implanted in her by the Federation. So you have to save Jack and save Earth.
Yeah. You can only be shocked and surprised once. I'm thankful for this last episode, for following through on all the promises that were made last episode. Last episode was a wonderful, wonderful surprise. And I'm going to make a very, very clumsy parallel here. Tom, I don't know if you ever experienced Star Trek The Experience in Las Vegas.
I did. Yes. Okay. Yes. I got a chance to do that. I've always wondered if one of those Klingons was a person I would go on to meet later in life, but I'll never know.
Tom, what was, and I already know the answer, what was the best part of that theme park ride?
The best part for me was being in the shuttle and feeling like you're actually flying through space, then getting out and walking onto the bridge of the Enterprise D.
That's not what happened. What happened was you queued up for the ride and everything was a very boring, very boilerplate, if you're pregnant, please go away, cheesy video. And then you were transported to the transporter room in the single most magical experience I've had in my entire life. I was so thrilled with that surprise that we got on a shuttle, we saved Picard's ancestors or whatever, but I always remember that powerful, powerful surprise of being transported onto the Enterprise.
That's hilarious because I'd forgotten that part.
Oh, what? Like, yes. I still don't know how they did it. I've heard
the part I remember is being in the shuttle and being like, I feel like I'm flying through space. This is amazing.
That's very interesting. For me, that oh my God, I've just been transported on the Enterprise and I don't know how it happened, because the experience for anybody who hasn't done it, like, you look down and you're looking at concrete, you look and there's monitors and stuff, lights flicker and flash, and then you feel a whoosh and cold air blasts in your face, you hear the transporter sound, and then suddenly the lights that were concrete underneath you are now glowing transporter pads, and somebody, you know, paid minimum wage says, "We've got them, sir." And then Picard's voice says, "Good, bring them to the bridge." Like, everything after that was just gravy. Like, that alone was the whole ride.
That's hilarious.
That's kind of how I feel right now, where it's like, last episode just...
Yes, I get where you're going with this, yes.
Last episode was that did not see this coming. What a treat, what a delight, what a surprise. Everything this episode was gravy, maybe gravy that really soaked in the moment quite a bit, but earned gravy. Earned gravy.
Yeah, yeah. A thick gravy that may not be good for your heart, but you're like, you know what? A lot of preparation went into this gravy.
It was victory gravy.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. I definitely feel like this is the payoff to the surprise, right? I'm like, okay, you surprised me. Now do something with it. And I feel like they did something with it. And this was movie level plot, at least. And I was here for it. I enjoyed the finish, and I'm glad that it was surprise and payoff. I'm glad it wasn't surprise. And then four more episodes. So I'm appreciative of that.
There is a strong effort to keep everything thematically going, but much like the next generation, like really make an effort to resolve everything procedurally. Like, hey man, we got 1 hour. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to at least tie this part into a bow by the end of it.
I also noticed, and so this makes me wonder if it was just an acting choice on Patrick Stewart's part. Because he knew this was coming. They all knew this was coming. As soon as he's on the bridge of the Enterprise D, his back straightens up, his voice gets a little confidence, and he's in command in a way that we have not seen him this entire run.
I actually wonder if it maybe goes a little bit deeper than that, because there's a cadence and a rhythm when I'm doing, and I know I'm doing a classic Scam School shoot or a lecture that I've done a whole bunch of times or whatever. Uh-huh. Like I become 8 years younger than I am in that moment. And if it was an intentional acting affectation, kudos to him, but I suspect it's something more primal. I suspect it's like, yes, I've done this for 20 years. What's up, you know?
Yeah, there's some state-dependent memory kicking in, right?
Right.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. It could be both on both ends, right? It could be a choice to be like, well, Picard's old and he's not in charge, so I'm gonna play him with some vulnerability that he didn't have in his younger years because I am that age and I understand that even I have that. And then maybe by plan or not plan, he gets on the bridge of the Enterprise D and that effect kicks in.
There was a playful moment where Seven of Nine is granted captainship of one of the ships wasn't the Titan. It couldn't have been the Titan because
it is the Titan, but they have rechristened the Titan to be the Enterprise G.
Right. But the Enterprise G is crewed by our fabulous old people, right?
The Enterprise D is the old
cast. It's still there. Got it. Okay. So
Geordi
got it.
Put it back together.
Got it.
It was
okay.
His
so
long
there's two,
project.
There's two Enterprises. Okay.
So there's the Enterprise D. The E was destroyed at the end of Insurrection.
Yeah.
The F was destroyed earlier this season when Admiral Shelby was captaining it. And the G is the Titan rechristened.
I mean, okay, look, the important thing is all our favorite characters are in the G spot. And then we get to the part where Seven of Nine is said, it's spelled out like, oh, what's your clever phrase to go? And then they hide that from us. Is that something that's going to pay off? Or I thought I saw something on social media of like various things that she said, like make ship go now or something.
No, make ship go now is what Spock says in the trailer for next year's Strange New, or for the upcoming
that's what
Strange
I'm thinking
New
of. Oh, that's right. Yeah. We talked about that on Cord Killers last night. Yeah.
I read an article that said the scene with Seven of Nine as the captain that you're talking about, with Raffi as the first officer, with Jack Crusher as the ship's counselor, but counselor in a different sense than Deanna Troi was, is meant to imply that the Enterprise goes on to new adventures with a new crew that you've come to know and love, with an opportunity to do a spinoff. That there is no end of conversations with Alan Kurtzman about how fun that would be, but absolutely no plans or sign-offs or details. So that could end up just being a fun, like, well, isn't it fun to imagine? And I'm sure they're going to write paperback books that tell those adventures.
Right.
It could, depending on a million different variables, turn into a spinoff series that I think Jeri Ryan would be great in.
She would be great. Yeah. Hopefully nobody got annoyed. Like I did note and think it was playful to have an exact one-for-one immersion or inversion on gender Whereas, like, you know, you go back to 1987 and Counselor Troy is the one female on the bridge and she, her job is to be counselor. Everybody else is a dude or a robot or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we have kind of a perfect inversion of that, which I hope nobody complains like something woke agenda or whatever, because it's like, no, it's fine symmetry for storytelling, and we'll see how long that it even lasts like this.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it is irrelevant. to quote Seven's old people, the Borg, it is futile to think about that. I love is she Captain Seven? That's the other part that I wonder. They didn't play with that, but you know, she's very insistent through this entire series. Don't call me Hansen. Don't call me Annika. I'm Seven of Nine. That's who I think of myself as. It's important to me.
I would imagine that there'll be
is
some
she Captain
kind of,
Nine or Captain Seven. That's what I need.
Right. There'll be some. Yeah. You know what? I think it's within the captain's discretion to say, call me Captain Tom. Or yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
On this ship, I'm Captain Brian. Got it?
Okay, maybe just cool. Captain. I could see that.
Right. And they'll probably stick to that for a while, but there may be some brief moment where they touch on that.
It'd be a fun little thing. They played with that with Kate Mulgrew's character in the early seasons of Voyager about whether you should call her sir or ma'am.
Yeah.
And she's like, call me sir. Ma'am sounds weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got Tuvok made another cameo. We got another cameo.
Tuvok showed up only to say, by the way, Tuvok, hello, nerds. It's us. A press release from the future. Yes, we know that canonically changelings kill whoever they adopt, but this time.
This time,
Tuvok is alive. You're welcome. Goodbye.
Tim Ooh. Russ would like to guest star in any potential
yes,
spinoffs.
Exactly.
So Tuvok is alive.
Data is a chill person going to therapy.
That was interesting.
It's so great because he's wanted to be a real boy. You know, the literal stated plot is Pinocchio. He wants to be a real boy, and now he really is. And now he's wrestling with a new set of complications, which is something we're all wrestling with, what it's like to be an actual human.
Yeah. I love the bit where he's like, I saw a crew person with a cat and I broke down in tears, which is just a great, like, if you don't know, it's like, oh, okay, so he's having emotions. And if you do know, he's like, oh yeah, the cat was incredibly important to Data, and yet he couldn't ever wrap his head around why before he had emotions. So.
Also, favorite part was the moment Data gets up and turns his back to Counselor Troy, just a little bit of an eye roll, like, which I assume all therapists do.
Yep. This season was so fun. I don't pretend that it is the best example of Star Trek. I don't pretend that it is perfect, but I will say it is exactly the right way to wrap up what otherwise was a very unsatisfying wrap up to the TNG crew. And I think we're done here with that. And not that they can't do cameos here and there, of course they can, but I don't feel like I need to see these folks come together again. This has an undiscovered country feel to it, which was the intention of this season, apparently.
Yeah. And for anybody who's Picard curious, just maybe skip the whole first two seasons. Just watch I don't think you would lose anything by watching the third season first. And then going back and finding
and
out what
them
else
like,
there
oh,
was.
Oh, I want to find out more about how we got
there. Why are they talking like Picard replaced his body? Well,
yeah,
because he did.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to spend a whole season to find
season
out
two
how.
Tells you the whole thing. Yeah. Or wait, was it season one?
Yeah, one. Yeah, two was when they were riffing on the time travel stuff.
And two was their voyage home.
Yes, exactly.
All right. That is Picard season 3, episode 10. So we have no more Picard. What are we going to do next week? Well, we've got Ted Lasso season 3, episode 7. We've got Succession season 4, episode 6. And we are going to start watching Silo on Apple TV Plus in 2 weeks. So in the intervening weeks, Miami Vice fans,
we
are going to get back on the rewatch for 1 week. Child's Play starring Ving Rhames. Season 4, episode 5 of Miami Vice.
Can't wait. It's going to be great.
Thanks everybody for supporting us at patreon.com/cordkillers. You make the show possible. You get these shows a little bit earlier, especially when we do them on time, but even when we don't do them on time, you get them earlier than the rest of the folks. And you get all kinds of things like after talk and stuff as well. So thanks for supporting us. We will spoil you again next time.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I am Dori Shafrir, the co-host of the podcast Forever 35, which is all about the things we do to take care of ourselves. And starting next week, we have a new co-host.
It's me. I'm Elise Hugh. I am an author, journalist, and a podcaster.
Yay! Elise and I are going to be getting into a lot of the same topics that we've always talked about on Forever 35, like skincare, like getting older, and of course, Forever 35 faves like butt care and Costco.
She said Costco.
I said it.
I'm so excited to be coming along on this journey.
I am so excited to have you. So listen to Forever 35 wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.